Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
16 past three. We cross now to Avi Kay, who many of you know is the host of the Avi on Monday show on Chai FM. And I'm going to be talking to him about a story that has been making the news in Israel when on Tuesday, the Israeli finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, officially cancelled a long-standing waiver that allowed Israeli banks to process shekel payments for Palestinian banks without legal risk. Now, the waiver has enabled the flow of billions, something like 53 billion shekels, and that's in pounds. I can't quickly work that out in rands, but it would be a huge amount of rands, billions and billions of rands. And that was just for 1 year. And that waiver enabled the Palestinian banks to process shekels and money for salaries, public services, and vital cross-border transactions. But now that Israel's cancelled it, Palestinian banks risk being cut off from the Israeli financial system, which means that they will be jeopardized from being able to process everything from payroll to utility payments. The move is being seen not just as financial, but also political. Smotrich calls it a response to what he claims is a Palestinian campaign to delegitimize Israel internationally. Avi Kay, thank you so much for joining us on the Home Run. If we can start simply, what does the removal of this waiver actually mean in practical terms for daily Palestinian-Israeli financial exchanges?
Hi, good afternoon. So practically on the ground, first of all, for Israelis, it almost means that it's a blip on the radar. But for Palestinians, it has tremendous repercussions. This is a long-standing agreement that goes all the way back to Oslo, and it was really put in place to ensure that the Palestinian Authority banks had cash flow, that the Israeli government mechanisms would collect taxes on their behalf, collect VAT on their behalf, and pay it over on an ongoing basis. Now, this waiver is renewed every 3 to 6 months, and it was really a rubber stamp for many, many years. It wasn't even a question that it was going to get done. And all of a sudden, we've now got a situation where that flow is being threatened. So we all know Bezalel Smotrich, the Minister of Finance, also known as a far right-wing minister, who has about maybe 10 to 15% of the voting public agreeing to his policy. He's got about 5% of the vote, but he really punches above his weight because of the coalition and because of his position as finance minister. But he's really been the first finance minister to turn around and say, you can't bite the hand that feeds. If you want us to continue and you're funneling money through to you, that might legitimately be yours or not, whatever the case is, can't keep going to the international community and slating us and bad-mouthing us. You've got to be a partner in goodwill. And because of that, he turned around and said, this is what he wants to promulgate. It hasn't gone through yet. It still has to be ratified by the Security Council. That's still got a ways to go. But it's going to have huge implications. So if you are the man in the Palestinian Authority, you're looking at a scenario where it comes to the end of the month, you look in your bank account, there's nothing there. Mm. You've got salary to pay for social services, you've got people to pay, you've got utilities to pay, you've got grants to pay, and you've also got the very controversial monies that are paid to families whose members have killed Israelis, and they get sort of reward money for that. And that's what Bezalel Smotrich is turning around and saying, is that you've got to use the money responsibly. But if we stand back, what it's really saying is that the Palestinian Authority can't stand on its own. It really needs the Israeli infrastructure to allow the cash flow to continue to come through. And as I said earlier, up until now, it was really just a rubber stamp. That the Minister of Finance is saying, no, you can't keep funding terror. You can't keep bad-mouthing us at the international community. And I'm sure, and these are my own words, that the Minister would say, You can't keep not coming to the negotiation table with anything concrete and expect us to keep funding you. And that's where we stand. So if you look at it for the Israeli economy, it doesn't make much of a difference. For the Palestinian economy, it is catastrophic. It's absolute, a cash flow crisis because there's no cash coming in. And really, that is going to do two things. It's going to polarize the Israeli society, and it's going to polarize the international society.
Avi, if I can just take you back a moment, why was it set up in this way to begin with? I mean, why are the Palestinians not able to have their own independent banking system and have to rely on Israel?
It's a brilliant question. And the reason goes all the way back to Oslo. It goes to the fact that the Palestinian Authority was given legitimacy by Israel, was given autonomy by Israel, and saying, run your own things. But clearly, a lot of the cash flow came from within Israel, goods flowing across the border, so to speak, and VAT that was collected. So maybe just to even take one step further back, what is the waiver? The waiver is not saying we will no longer send money. The waiver is saying that if the money is used in an incorrect way to fund terrorism in the Palestinian authorities, the banks themselves in Israel can be held liable. Up until now, that liability has been waived. So all of a sudden, you've got a bit of a legal loophole that's been brought in and said, hold on, you can send the money, but Bank X, whatever it is, if we can trace the money back to you, sending it to the Palestinian Authority, even though you're just a conduit in this process, we are going to come after you legally for funding terrorism or aiding terrorism within the Palestinian Authority.
That makes sense.
The bottom line is to answer the question, if you boil it down to everything, it's like everything else in the Palestinian Authority. There hasn't been the will to take the energy away from fighting and put the same energy into building. Yes, you can clearly say the Israeli government and policies have limited that in certain ways. Yes, that's part of having a conflict, is that certain things are curtailed. But ultimately, the Palestinian Authority hasn't come to the party and says, guys, just like we did in South Africa at CODESA, and say, whatever it's going to be, we are committed to a peace process.
I wanted to ask you, who in Israel stands to lose if Palestinian banks can no longer process shekels? Are Israeli companies or Israeli banks affected?
Absolutely. There's always a give and take. We need to realize that there are businesses that do so much business between Israel and the Palestinian authorities. Paula, this is something that people who don't live in Israel don't realize, but let me just quickly paint a picture for you. Almost every truck, big truck that you see on the road in Israel carrying building equipment is run and owned and managed by Palestinians or Arabs. The meat industry, the abattoirs, and I think the three major abattoirs in Israel, run and dominated as a cartel by Palestinian or Arab business people. And if that flow of money is not allowed to happen, we're going to have a similar thing as what's happened with British companies in Russia when the sanctions were imposed. They had money in Russia that was owed to them, and all of a sudden there was no longer cash flow. And they were out billions. There was a case yesterday on CNN where a British company had $5 billion worth of airplanes in Russia and couldn't get them out. You're going to have the same thing. It's not an ideal situation. Plus, what you're going to have is the typical Israeli thing. Jews, on the whole, are kind, generous people. And it comes out in this way where they feel somebody's being oppressed, or somebody's not getting what's due to them, is going to be protest, and it'll highlight the chasm between the right and the left, or the far right and the far left. But ultimately, what Bezalel Smotrich is really saying in this whole process, and it's together with another process that he started, is Palestinians take authority take responsibility. You can't go to the UN and, excuse the expression, you can't piss on our battery all the time and then expect us to keep funding you. Just stop it. And we will allow the cash to flow. The other thing that he's doing, and this started about a year and a half ago and it's flown under the radar, is that families who are victims of terror, but Samuel Smotrich has now said the Palestinian Authority is going to pay for that crime. And Dr. Rabbi D has made it public how much his claim is, and he's claiming for each one of his loved ones that he lost. And it's tens of millions of shekel, rather. And that money is also coming from there. So the Minister of Finance is earmarking money and saying, Palestinian Authority, you can object. You've got 60 days to object or whatever it is. And regardless, we're putting that money aside and we are going to hold it and pay it over to the families that you have funded the terror that caused the loss of the.
Avi, we have 30 seconds and I want to ask you one more question. There have been warnings internationally about economic collapse in the West Bank. Is there any way that this decision can backfire on Israel? Because an economic collapse in the West Bank is going to have negative repercussions, presumably, on the Jewish state.
Yes, it will have back. The bottom line is it needs to be avoided because it will put pressure on the Palestinians, which will put pressure on the Israeli economy. And it's not ideal, even if you agree with it in principle.
Not ideal at all. That's Avi Kay, host of the Avi on Money show on Chai FM. Thanks for your time and for your very detailed insight into how this topic, which many people are actually not aware of, how it translates on the ground.